many years. I've sung when I've been happy, I've sung when I've had tears. Some folks have even questioned if it's all been just for show. But the reason that I'm singing, I want the world to know. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there's still the power that saves. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home where I shall sing for all eternity. I have sung to those who are walking through a fiery trial. I've watched as saddened faces turned into happy smiles. But then I bow my head and whisper, Lord, please do the same for me. And I'm glad that I can tell you that He's given victory. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there's still the power that saves. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home where I shall sing for all eternity. Well, I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because one day I'm going home where I shall sing for all eternity.
All right. Thank you, Brother Ingram. And, you know, if you know your scripture well enough, you'll know that when we get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of singing that's going on. You say, well, preacher, I just don't like to sing. Well, you'll like it then because you'll have a perfect body. And, by the way, when you see Jesus Christ, you're not going to have to be prompted to worship. You're not going to have to be prompted. There's not going to be a prompter, you know. There's not going to have to be anybody tell you, applaud, sing. When you see the Lord, it's all just going to come just because of His majesty, just because of His goodness and glory. Thank you, Brother Ingram, for that song. Take your Bible, Psalm 38, if you would, with me this morning. Psalm chapter number 38. The verses that we're about to read here today is the words of God, but spoken through David. You know, David went through a number of trials and issues of life, and but I want to use Psalm 38 this morning as kind of the psalm to take a look at who we are today. And that way, maybe if we see us for who we are, then maybe we can see God for who He is. And I want you to take your Bible there in Psalm 38. Would you stand with me? We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. David kind of calling to remembrance a number of things and the goodness of God says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt. My sorrow is continually before me, for I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies are lively. They are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Now I want you to go back to verse number 2, and I want you to notice here that David said, for thine God's arrows stick fast in me. And he said, thy hand presseth me sore. And I want to take that portion of verse number 2, for thine arrows stick fast in me. And I want to preach to you this morning about the penetrating arrows of God. You know, I hunt and I use arrows in bow hunting. And you know what? There's a purpose for an arrow. That arrow is to find a target. That arrow is looking for some place to hit its mark and to penetrate, to do what it's supposed to do. And may I say to you this morning that God Almighty is trying to accomplish in your life what He wants to be accomplished? You say, you mean tell me, preacher, God's shooting at me? Not you, your sin. That's what He's shooting at. Now let's pray together. Father, would you bless our time together this morning? What a great day it is to be alive. And we pray now this morning that you would move in such a way in this service today that you would bless. Move in hearts, I pray, that Jesus might get all the glory and all the praise from this service. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. You know, some under the sound of my voice this morning think that God in heaven is out to get you. Now, He's not out to get you. He's out to get your sin. He's not shooting at you, the person. He's shooting at the sin that we get involved in. Because He knows that as long as we covet sin in our life, we're going to have a difficult time having a relationship with God Almighty. See, His target is the lust of our flesh. His target is the lust of our eyes. Oh boy, here's a big target on our back. The pride of life. That's a big target for Him to shoot at. And every one of us this morning are, unfortunately, have been overcome in one of these areas. You see, He wants to hit the bullseye of your will to sin, and your will and my will to dishonor Him. He wants to take specific arrows and penetrate you and your sin today. You see, God wants you to feel the impact. You know, there's a lot of people that won't come to church because they say, every time I go to church, I feel guilty. That's not a bad thing. You see, when you come to church, we ought to feel the impact of the Word of God. You see, if I'm feeling guilty or I'm feeling convicted about something, then I ought to praise God because He's doing something. He's speaking to me. He's wanting to do something in my life. You see, God wants us to feel the impact of those arrows that He's shooting our direction. You see, His arrows are not intended to injure us. Those arrows are intended to penetrate and help us and to accomplish a divine purpose in our life. Now, You know, when I'm out hunting, and boy, I just looked at my calendar today and I thought, man, just about 3 months or so to deer season. Glory to God. Man, sometimes I just like to get my bow and arrow out and just look at them. And just one day, just find your mark. Okay? Now, all I'm saying to it, listen, if I can get excited about something silly like that, you know something, as a Christian, I ought to be able to get excited about God wanting to do something in my life. You know when I wouldn't get excited? If God never does anything in my life or never wants to do anything in my life, then I might better be concerned about what's going on in my life. But listen, you see, while I'm out hunting, there's all kinds of places in the woods that deer can hide and get away from me. They can escape me very easily. But I'm here to tell you today, folks, there's nowhere you can hide from the arrow of God. There's no place. You can go to the highest mountain, He's there. Psalm 139 says you can go to the depths of the sea, and behold, He's there. You cannot escape the arrow of God. See, some people think that, I'll tell you how I'll escape God, I just won't show up at church. Now, you can't escape God just because you stay home. Those arrows are constantly coming. Why? Because He wants to save souls and He wants to restore people. He wants a relationship with us. Now, there's no place we can get out of God's shooting range. You know, a deer can move itself out and get out of my shooting range because I won't shoot probably beyond 30, 35 yards. But you'll never get out of God's shooting range. No matter where you go, no matter how far you are away from Him right now, He can still make contact. And you will feel the impact of that arrow He's shooting your way. But always keep in mind, dear folks, listen to me. He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you. There is no such teaching in Scripture as sinless perfection. That means for those of you that may be new to Christianity, there will never be a time in this life where you will ever reach a point to where you will never, ever sin again. You said, but I thought if I got saved, that ended it all. No, that salvation gave you a home in heaven. But you know what? Your soul was saved. Your spirit was enlightened. This old body you stuck with. According to Romans chapter 7, that in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. So sin will forever be with us while we're in this body. And listen, there is coming a day when this body will take on a new form. It will be glorified. And at that point, no more sin. But while I'm in this life, there is no such thing as sinless perfection. But may I say to you this morning that as we draw closer to Christ, the closer our walk and relationship is with Jesus Christ, we should sin less, though. Amen, preacher. But you'll never be out of this body of flesh until you die and see the Lord or the trumpet sounds. Now, when we yield to sin and allow it to dominate our lives, then the results will be as David described. I want you to look at some descriptive language that he used about sin. Folks in the sound room, I think I'm ringing here just a little bit. I don't know if I'm too close or yelling too loud. One or the other. Could be both. Say, man, you got a big mouth. I know. That's just the way God made me, all right? But I can't put a softball in it. I can almost put an orange in it, but not a softball. Okay? You say, I can put one in mine chewed up. Yeah. But Psalm 38, let me show you some descriptive language that David used to describe sin. Did you notice in verse number 3, he said that when we submit and yield to sin, there is no rest? Notice in verse number 3. He said, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my, what's the word? He said, I have no rest whatsoever. And may I say to you this morning, it doesn't matter this morning whether you're saved, know Jesus Christ, or whether you do not know Jesus Christ, you will never have rest submitting to sin. Never, never. Even a lost person doesn't even have rest. They're miserable. Why? Because it's contrary to God Almighty who created you. You'll never have rest in your sin, and neither will I. No peace, no joy. And by the way, have you ever noticed how exhausting sin is? It's exhausting. Matter of fact, let me give you one sin that really exhausts people. Lying. Because here's what happens. When people lie, they can't remember what they said, so they got to lie to cover the lie because they don't know what they said previous to that. But you know what? If you just tell the truth, then you never have to remember anything. But people are such chronic liars that they exhaust themselves trying to remember what they said to cover their bases. Amen. You see, it's exhausting. David said there's no rest in sin. Look at verse number 6, what he says about it again. He says, I am troubled. Does that sound like he's at peace? Does that sound like that he lays his head on his pillow tonight or at night after he knows that he sinned against a thrice holy God and say, boy, I've had a good day. No, he said, I'm troubled. He said, I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning, not some of the day, not part of the day. He said, all the day long. So, folks, you know what? If that's what sin does, I want to try to distance myself from it as much as possible, right? If it brings me sorrow and there's no rest, and by the way, I like rest, don't you? I enjoyed my rest last night. And you know what? Sometimes we'll go home on Sunday afternoon and some of us need a little more rest. And we'll find the recliner, put that thing in about third gear, get us something nice to drink before we know it. We're getting that peaceful rest again. But he said, you know what, in your spirit and in your soul, if you yield to sin and you become a servant of sin, there is no rest. No rest whatsoever. Look what else he said. Look what else he said. Verse number 4. He says, for mine iniquities are gone over my head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. May I say number 2, that not only did he say there's no rest, he said there is no sight here. Now, what he's saying here, he says that sin bears down and weighs us down so much, it's like trying to jump out of a boat and go swimming with bowling balls chained to your legs and try to swim. He said, you know what usually is going to happen? You're going down. And may I say to you this morning, you know where sin will take you? It will always take you down. And he said that his iniquities, his sins have gone over my head. He said, I'm smothering in them. He said, I can't do anything to get away from them. He says, I can't see. I'm blind. Look at verse number 10, if you would. What else he says? He says, my heart panteth. My strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. You know what? When we yield to sin and it literally encompasses our life and controls us, we can't see it. Everybody else sees it, but we can't see it. We become blind to our own sin. And everybody needs to say right there, amen. Everybody else sees it but us, right? But that's what it does because we're so involved in it, we can't even see what it's doing to ourselves. So David said, there's no rest, there's no sight. Then look, if you would, in verse number 5, he said, there's no care. He said, my wounds stink. And are corrupt because of my foolishness. You ever seen an open wound that's been uncared for? It stinks. It stinks. He said, you know what sin will do to your life? It'll stink it up. If you go out there and some of you guys that enjoy playing athletics, you go out there and play basketball or you go out there and play football, and boy, after the game's over, you know what I've heard many say? They said, boy, I stunk it up today. Yeah, you did. But can I say what your sin does in the nostrils of God? You're stinking it up. It stinks up things. It stinks up your life. It stinks up your relationship with God. Listen, that unkept wound, it's corrupt. It's unkept. And you know what it'll do? It gets infected. It gets infected. And once infection sets in, now we've got more problems. Look at verse number 7. He said, sin, not only there's no rest, no sight, no care. He said, you know what? In sin, there's no discernment either. He said, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. One of the things I find out when sin engulfs a person, it's like they lose all discernment. It's like they almost reach a place to where they cannot discern right from wrong. because that sin has so engulfed them. And David said, you will lose discernment if you become prisoner to those sins. No rest, no sight, no care, no discernment. Verse number 8, he says, I'm feeble. He says, there's no strength. Sin will wear you down. Because the scripture says the way of the transgressor is hard, tired. Hey, you mean to tell you where you can get some peace and rest? In Jesus Christ. That's the only place that you can find peace and rest today. Listen, he said sin tires you out. It weakens you. And in your conscience, you become miserable with yourself. He said there's no strength. Oh, look at this. Well, this is going to hurt some of us. Look in verse number 11. He said, my lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. He says, you know what sin will do? You'll have no true friends. You'll have no true friends. You say, oh, yes, I've got friends. No, 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 no. Those are only people who are using you for what they can get out of you. That's all that is. A true friend is somebody that will stick with you closer than your own flesh and blood will. A true friend will come to you and tell you, you know what? You are wrong. And you know what you're to do? You're to say, man, I need to evaluate this. You see, that's what a true friend, but you know what sin does? Sin drives away true, that's a key, true friends. Now, is this how you or I want to live the rest of our life? No rest, no sight, no care, no discernment, no strength, no friends. You know, it has been said many times, you've heard me say this, that most people will die having less than 5 true friends in their entire lifetime. You know, I put that to the challenge one day when I first heard that, and I said, oh, I got more friends than that. Let's see, there's I know I got one. Oh, my wife. Let's see, I know there's another. I got lots of friends. Let's see, my wife, I know I got some more friends. I'll get back with you later. You know what? Most of you cannot come up with 5 true friends that you can call your friend, that you can talk to, that won't share it with somebody else, won't Facebook you after they talk to you. Amen? Or Twitter about you. Amen? Those are not friends. Those are people that are out to use you for what they can get out of you. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to die and be remembered as somebody that had no rest, no strength, no discernment, and no friends. Dying without being desired. I don't want to die that way. Now, if you feel today that you've been hit by one of these divine arrows, hey, it's all right. Look close, because the arrow is not aimed at you. It's aimed at that sin. Why? Because God wants you to have rest. God wants you to see. He wants you to care. He wants you to have discernment. He wants to be your strength. And by the way, He wants you to have friends. He wants you to have the right types of friends. Now, here's what I want you to do real quick. I want you to jot down 3 arrows that I want to point out this morning. Now, there's a bunch of others, but I'm just going to kind of bring all of them under 3 headings this morning. Now, whether you're here this morning without Christ or whether you're here this morning with Jesus Christ, God's got His divine bow drawn back, and He's targeting you. You say, oh no, Rich, I don't want Him to shoot at me. Wait a minute, I told you He's not shooting at you. He's shooting at your sin. That's what He's after. That's what He's trying to remove, that sin that so easily besets us. You know, if I took a poll right now, and I'm not, but if I took a poll right now and I said, listen, how many of you in here have a sin or sins that so easily beset you that just seems like it doesn't matter what you do, where you go, it just seems like there's a noose around your neck from this one or two particular sins that just seems the devil just got a rope on you, and every time you get out there, he tries to reel you back in. You know how to, let me tell you, there's a way to get rid of that. And God's got an arrow, and here's the first arrow. It's the arrow of the love of God. It's the arrow of the love of God. May I say to you, remind you that in the beginning, I told you that there are some in here that think God's out to get you. He's not out to get you. If you're saved, He's already got you. What He's out is to get that sin that so easily besets us. And you know what He'll do? He'll draw back that arrow and boom, The arrow of the love of God finds its mark. You say, oh, preacher, does God love me? Well, let's just find out and see what the Bible says. Go to, if you would, to John chapter 13. Go to John chapter 13. Now, most of us already know John 3:16, so I'm not going to go read that. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we know that verse, but I want you to look, if you would, in John chapter 13 and verse number 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the... Does your Bible say end? You say, is there ever a time that God will not love me? If you're a child of God, Never. He loved them unto the end. You know what that's telling me? That's telling me this morning that he's already shot that arrow of love and it's already hit the sin in my life. And what he's trying to do for some of us today, if you're here without Jesus Christ, he's drawn back that bow, that arrow has hit you, it's penetrated that sin, and he's doing it to try to bring you to Jesus, to try to bring you to the saving knowledge of Christ. See, he's presented to you this morning a truth that God loves you. Now, for some of us this morning, that arrow of the love of God may be an arrow of hope that God has not forgotten you or abandoned you. Say, preacher, you just don't understand what I've done. Doesn't matter what I think what you've done was bad. It matters what does God think. And God said, listen, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what? That includes everybody in this room that's without Christ. It doesn't matter what the sin is. God says, I've already forgiven all sins. He says, I've forgiven them all in Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, did I tell you, this arrow that I've got right here has got on it, it's got what they call a field tip. Now, I didn't bring a broadhead. I didn't want to scare you. All right? But it's a field tip. May I say to you that the tip of that arrow is what opens the pathway for penetration? And may I say that when God shoots his arrows, the tip has the blood of Jesus on it. And you know what? That when he shoots that arrow of love toward you, if you're without Christ this morning, it's got the blood of Jesus on it. Why? Because that's the only thing that's going to forgive your sin. That's the only thing that's going to cleanse you and make you white as snow. Well, for some of us, that arrow may be the arrow of security that's pierced our doubt and unbelief. Maybe some of you today are in a situation, maybe you think God has abandoned you. Or maybe you're in a situation, you say, listen, I'm so deep in sin right now, there's no way I could ever come back to God. There's no way I could ever restore my relationship. I'm here to tell you, false. That's a false idea. That's a false statement. Why? You say, where did I get that from? The devil. Because he wants you to think that God's out to get you. No. He's not out to get you. He's out to get your sin. But Satan's going to convince some that he's out to get you personally and destroy you personally, and he's not. He just wants to rid us of those sins that so easily beset us. You see, for some, that arrow may be intended to cause pain. You say, oh, preacher, I don't like pain. I don't like pain. But listen, sometimes when God draws back his love and impact takes place, guess what takes place with impact? Pain. And sometimes some of us are going to have to go through some pain in order for us to understand what God's trying to do. And for some of us, that pain many times gets our attention about, oh, okay, here I am, Lord. Sometimes we have to go through some pain in order for God to get our attention about our sin and respond to it. See, every deer that I've ever shot with an arrow, oh, by the way, I've got some in my backyard if you want to come see them. Not deer, but the horns. You say, I ain't got any concern about that. Okay, I just thought maybe you might want to come see. But may I say that every deer that I've ever hit with an arrow has always responded to the impact? Did you hear me? And do you know that every born again, and I say true born again child of God, that gets hit by one of the arrows of God about your sin will respond? Those who are without Christ, that are hardened against God, many times when God shoots that love, they don't respond. But you can respond this morning. And every born again believer this morning that knows Jesus Christ, when that impact takes place, we ought to respond. That's the reason, listen to me, this morning there's not a person in this room that is without sin. That means that the invitation this morning, when the invitation's given and the Holy Spirit says, hey, listen, why don't you come down to the altar? Let's do business with God. We're going to find out how many is going to respond to the impact. Because He is firing away this morning. You see, when God's love makes impact with your sin and your soul, there will be some type of response. And if you're here this morning and don't know Jesus, you will also respond to the impact. You'll either come this morning and receive Christ, or you'll walk out that door lost, and you'll respond in a negative way to the impact of the love of God. I want you to look at the second arrow that I want to present quickly this morning. Turn, if you would, to 1 John. 1 John. Not only is there the arrow of the love of God. By the way, when we go back to Psalm 38 and think about it, we'll go back there in just a second. Everybody agree in here that David experienced an ample portion of the love of God in his life? Absolutely he did. Absolutely. That's the reason he could write what he wrote in Psalm 38. The second arrow that I want to present this morning is not only the arrow of the love of God. God's drawing, listen, not shooting at you. He's shooting that love at your sin to let you know you can be forgiven. You can be restored. And by the way, that's the second arrow, and that's the arrow of forgiveness. Look in 1 John 1:9. If, that's a big word. You need to circle that word in the Bible. That's a huge word. You say, no, it's not, preach. It's only two letters. Yeah, it's one of the biggest words in the Bible. Because you know what? That says if. That tells most of us in this room that you can or you can't. You will or you will not. If we confess our, does your Bible say sins? Yes. He, Jesus, is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how much? All unrighteousness. So you know what God's done? He's drawn back. He sees that sin. And some of you here this morning, that arrow hits that sin that you think God will never forgive you of because you deem it bad. And you have deemed maybe something you've done in life or several areas of your life, and you have deemed it bad. Well, you know what? Yeah, sin is bad. But there's no sin bad enough that that arrow of forgiveness can't forgive. No such thing. No such thing as a sin so bad that God cannot forgive. And this morning, you may be sitting here under a lot of stress, under a lot of anxiety, under a lot of pressure, saying, Lord God, is it possible that you could forgive me of my sins? May I remind you that in Scripture, that the arrows of God have penetrated murder, robbery, adultery, fornication, homosexuality. And may I say to you today that it'll also penetrate drugs and alcohol and pornography and anything else that you're involved in. You see, there's no sin the arrow of God can't penetrate. There is no forgiveness that the arrow of God can't forgive. May I remind you that the tip is made up of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There's no sin that the arrows of God cannot penetrate. His love and forgiveness will penetrate any sin known to man. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ has already covered all sins. Oh, by the way, always remember that when Jesus died 2,000 plus years ago, your sins and my sins, they were all in the future. He already knew everything about you, and you know what He was still willing to do? He was still willing to go to the cross and pay your debt and my debt. Still willing to. Why? Because He knew that forgiveness would be made available through the shed blood. And this arrow that God is shooting today has the blood of Jesus Christ in it. And when it makes impact with your soul this morning, it'll have your sins on it. You know, sometimes when I'm hunting, you make a shot, for those of you that bow hunt, you make a shot and you think, man, I think I got it. But you know what you have to do? You have to wait a little while, and then you have to get down out of your stand. And you go out there. First of all, you got to find the arrow. And then once you find the arrow, you're looking for penetration, right? You're looking to find out, are there marks that it hit what it was intended to hit? Can I say to you this morning, there's no question that when God shoots, He don't miss. So whatever He shoot, whatever sin He's shooting at, listen to me this morning, He's not going to miss. What you need to do this morning is you need to come and say, Lord God, boy, that arrow penetrated. It's got some deep penetration. And let me tell you something, that arrow will have, and He's willing to forgive your sins. It has the blood of Christ on it. And when it makes penetration, or has the blood of Christ in it, when it makes penetration, it'll have your sins on it. You say, well, what about a Christian? You see, the Bible talks about cleansing. It uses the word cleanseth, which is a perpetual cleansing. Constantly. What does it? The blood of Jesus. Well, let me give you the third arrow. Go back to Psalm 38. Okay, the arrow of the love of God. Remember, He's not shooting at you. He's shooting at your sin. He's not out to get you. If you're a child of God, He's already got you. What He's trying to do is He's trying to remove that sin. And there's no sin that the arrow of the love of God and the arrow of the of forgiveness of God cannot penetrate. Well, I want you to look, if you would, in Psalm 38 and verse 17. The third arrow that I want to present this morning is the arrow of repentance. That word repentance just means change. Look at verse 17. See if you don't detect something in the tone of David's voice here in verse 17, and see if you don't detect some change. Listen, after all of the things he presented about sin, after he said there's no rest, there's no care, he said there's no discernment, he said there's no friends, when you're so engulfed in sin, look what he came to the conclusion, verse 17. He says, for I am ready to halt. You say, what does that mean? Well, the word halt actually means I am ready to skip over. I am ready to get beyond this. He says, I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. He says, for I will declare mine iniquity, and I will be sorry for my sin. You see, the broadhead that you put on these arrows, you see, the shaft and the fletching, which is what those little deals are right here, all those do is they guide the arrow. It's the broadhead, not that tip, but it's the broadhead that does the damage. And may I say to you that this morning that the broadhead of the arrows of God not only are filled with the blood of Jesus Christ, but they are all there for one purpose, and that is to convict us. You see, once the arrows of God penetrate the heart and the spirit, it will begin the process of change if we'll respond to it in the right manner. Let me remind you once again that when the arrow of God makes impact, we will respond one way or the other. Did you notice he said, I'm ready to halt. I'm ready to skip over. I'm ready to change. Let me ask you this. Are you ready to change yet? How's sin treating you? Is it your buddy? Is it doing you well? Is it prospering you? Can you lay your head on your pillow tonight and feel, you know what? I am all at peace with my sin. I am all at peace with what I'm doing, even though I'm cheating people. I'm all at peace, even though I'm lying. I'm all at peace, even though I'm promiscuous in my lifestyle, or drugs, or alcohol, or pornography, or whatever it is. Can you lay your head on your pillow at night and say, I'm at peace? Well, if you can, then may I say this morning, there is no Holy Ghost there. Amen, preacher. Because the Scripture said that there will be no rest for those who are engulfed in sin. Are you ready to stop? Are you ready to change? Did you notice that David said, my sorrow is continually before me? So you know what we've got to do? If there's going to be change, there's going to have to be some acknowledging that our condition and the condition that we're in, that's the first step. That's the first step of recovery. Oh boy, look at this. And then verse number 18, he said, I will declare my iniquity. You know what we're going to do? We're going to have to confess it. We're going to have to acknowledge, you know what? I'm wrong. He's right. I'm wrong. The Bible's right. I'm wrong. And if I'm going to get right, I'm going to have to go through Jesus Christ to get right. You've got to acknowledge our sin. We've got to acknowledge our condition. Did you notice? He said, I will declare mine iniquity. Listen, the first step for a person coming to Jesus Christ this morning is to acknowledge that we've sinned. For all have sinned, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The first step of salvation is acknowledgement. May I say the first step, believer, of restoration is acknowledgement. You've got to acknowledge what your condition is. The scripture says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then I want you to look in verse number 18, that last statement. He said, I will be sorry for my sin. You know what he's saying there? He's saying that I see my sin how God sees my sin. But you know, most of us don't see that. Most of us think that, you know what, hey, if I had to lie to get by, then you know what, I just had to lie to get by. That's called situational ethics, folks. That's not biblical. No sin is ever condoned, regardless of what your circumstances are. None. Matter of fact, the scripture so talks in Isaiah 64 about our sin. He says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Listen, Isaiah mentions another place in Isaiah 1:6. He refers to them as putrefying sores. That's how David mentioned it. He said that his wounds stink and they're corrupt. Folks, that's what our sin is in the sight of God. He said, I will be sorry for my sin. That's seeing our sin as God sees it. And when we do that, listen now, then we will see God for who he is. We will see God for what he is if we look and see. Listen, Isaiah said when he got a glimpse of God, he said he was a man of unclean lips. When's the last time you've got a glimpse of the holiness of God? When's the last time that you've been to a church service and got a glimpse of just how bad sin is? May I conclude this morning by giving you a quote from a great preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. He said, a man is never or near the end of his trouble when he comes to an end with his sins. Let me say that again. A man is near the end of his trouble when he comes to an end with his sins. You say, can you interpret that, preacher? Yeah. When's enough going to be enough? When's enough enough? Some of you, some of us in this auditorium are living a life that is not pleasing to God. You say, how do I get right, preacher? How do I make it right? Let the arrows make impact on that sin. And then when penetration is made by the love of God and the forgiveness of God, and God's calling many in this room today to repent and come back to him, what do we should do? When the invitation's given, we need to respond. We need to respond to the impact of the penetrating arrows of God. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many can say, preacher, I'm a born-again believer? No question about it. If I died today, heaven's my home, and I'm proud of it. How many this morning can say that by the uplifted hand? You'd say, that's me, preacher. I'm a born-again believer. No question about it. I know Jesus as my Savior. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father, my prayer this morning at this invitation is that you would move in such a way. I pray that even as I speak today, Lord, that the convicting arrows of God are penetrating the hearts of the people today, and that they will come and respond to an invitation and to an altar of grace. But Lord, there were some this morning that could not raise their hand and say that they were saved. I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking around but me. Some could not raise their hand just a moment ago. How many of those of you that could not raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I know that I've been born again"? If you didn't raise your hand just a moment ago, but you'd say, "Preacher, I need prayer. Would you pray for me? I cannot honestly say that heaven's my home. I want to go to heaven, but if I die today, I cannot honestly say that I've been born into the family of God." How many this morning that could not raise your hand a moment ago would raise it now and say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I want to pray for you. I want you to go to heaven." And you say, "Preacher, pray for me." How many are like that? I want you to shake your hand up and say, "That's me, preacher.